Dati Shubhadharmika. Vande Nam Sri Guru Sri Jatapati Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavastra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Pradijana Sintam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam He Krishna Purana Sintimo Dina Vanto Jagatpate O Pesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gaulam Di Trate Vrindane Shri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Namami Hore Kriye Vancha Ko Guru Vyascha Vasimho Vyascha Vita Nam Pani Devyo Vaishnaveyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaurava Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, now let's see what. In the Bhagavad Gita, we've been talking about enthusiasm. In utsaha, utsaha nishchaya taryat tatat karma pravartanat, sangatyagat satovate, shapir paktir sityati. The utsaha, Prabhupada said, is just like an engine. And with that engine, you can do so much. So everything depends on enthusiasm. Now, let's see. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the last chapter, Krishna describes three kinds of actors or workers, people who do things. And here's the person in the mode of goodness. Mukta sangon hambadi drityutsaha samanvita siddhya siddhyor nirvikara karta sattvika uchite. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness is always transcendental to the material modes of nature. He has no expectations for the result of the work entrusted to him, because he's above false ego and pride. Still, he is always enthusiastic till the completion of such work. He does not worry about the distress undertaken. He's always enthusiastic. He does not care for success or failure. He's equal in both distress and happiness. Such a worker is situated in the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada showed us this transcendental goodness. Goodness, and sometimes we read these descriptions and they're descriptions of the mode of goodness, and Prabhupada says a person in Krishna consciousness. Because goodness and Krishna consciousness are side by side. And goodness is the highest of the material modes of nature. And when that goodness reaches transcendence, or that is to say, when goodness is unalloyed by passion or ignorance, one is on the platform of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person is in pure goodness. So otherwise goodness without Krishna consciousness is bad. Goodness is also bad without Krishna consciousness. There are three kinds of bad. They're called ignorance, passion, and goodness. Goodness is just the least bad, like the prison cells, the third class prison cell, second class prison cell, and first class prison cell. So first class, you say, oh, it's first class, but it's first class prison cell, so therefore it's third class. So the material mode of goodness is also material. But when one is Krishna conscious, then these same features of goodness are present, but they're all connected with Krishna, and so they're transcendental. Oh, mukta sangha, free from material association, naham vadi, I'm not this body, and dhrityutsaha samanvita, he's full of determination and enthusiasm. We saw this in the character of Srila Prabhupada himself. When he wanted to come to America, then Sumati Muraji, whom he approached for getting a ticket, said, Swamiji, what will you do there? You're too old to travel. And Prabhupada said, let me go. You'll die. All right, I'll die. Someone's not going to die. So let me die in Krishna's service. But let me try to do something. Srila Prabhupada one time explained why he went to America. His spiritual master hadn't specifically said, go to America. He'd requested, please spread this message in English. But Prabhupada said, I thought that my godbrothers went to England and they failed. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some disciples to England and they weren't able to accomplish very much. So Prabhupada said, my godbrothers went to England and they failed. So I thought, well, if I'm going to fail, at least let me fail in a new place. But with great determination, so much hassle, you know, to get the P form, whatever a P form is, and this and that, and visas and so many things. Everything is a struggle. But Prabhupada didn't become discouraged. He had no sponsor in America. He just kept asking any opportunity, could you sponsor me? Could you sponsor me? Is there a way that you could sponsor me? And one acquaintance in Agra had a son who was in America, so Prabhupada asked, could he sponsor me? So Prabhupada himself must have been surprised when it came through that the letter for your sponsorship has reached. Because Prabhupada didn't have, you know, just a simple thing that I call this number, or I get on this website, and I push a few buttons and I'm in America. Every step of the way, there was uncertainty, there was discouragement, there were obstacles to cross. But Prabhupada just kept at it. He wasn't discouraged. For publishing his Srimad Bhagavatam, same thing, right, before he came to America. So much trouble to get the money, to do the writing, to get the paper, to pay for to everything. Distribute the copies. But Prabhupada was enthusiastic. He kept going. He started a league of devotees. Practically it was just him. But he was enthusiastic. In so many ways. Then Prabhupada came to America. And America itself is such a discouraging place. Prabhupada wrote to Krishna, I don't know why you brought me to this Ugristan. Just as we have Pakistan, Afghanistan, Balochistan, so we also have Ugristan. Ugristan means America. Ugristan means a terrible place. I don't know why you've brought me to this terrible place. You take one look at it and it's all nasty. Prabhupada, just by seeing, you could see so many sinful enterprises and advertising and so many things. Oh, the nasty way of life. Why why have you brought me to this hubris time? But I suppose you must have some purpose, and therefore you've brought me. I'm your servant, now I'm here, you can do with me as you like. And you can make my words effective. Prabhupada at that point was new to America, he didn't know people, didn't know, will they understand the language even, will they understand my speaking? And will they accept this, so many things? Will they agree to follow these, Prabhupada thought, said, I thought when I told them, when I would tell them, these are the four regulative principles, they would say, all right, now you go home. But Prabhupada didn't compromise also. He didn't think, well, they won't accept it, so I won't say it. He was enthusiastic that, like a diamond seller, Prabhupada gave the example, that if you're selling costume jewelry, plastic, you'll have so many customers because it's cheap. And if you're selling diamond jewelry, you'll have very few customers. But that doesn't mean we'll be discouraged. There's only a few customers. After all, it's diamond. So Prabhupada wrote in his Bhagavad Gita introduction that if even one person becomes Krishna conscious, if even one person becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, I'll consider the whole thing a great success. Doesn't matter, we're not after fame and popularity and so many things. It's Krishna desires, and thousands of people come, very nice, but if even one person comes. I gave that example yesterday that Prabhupada did a program at Boston University in, they have a building called Marsh Chapel. And it's a big hall, and 12 people came. Only 12. Big university, tens of thousands of students, and I don't know, maybe the scheduling or something, but 12 people came. I was there, and Prabhupada was enthusiastic. He gave a wonderful lecture. For whoever, all right, 12 or 12,000, it doesn't matter. Siddha Siddhar Nirvikara. Success or failure, doesn't matter. 1,000 people or one person. And actually there was one boy there, one student, asked a question about Mayavad philosophy. He knew something about Advaitavad, Advaita philosophy. So he asked his question about Advaita philosophy. And it was quite a typical question about merging in oneness and the drop of water becoming one with the ocean of water. I'm the drop, let me become the ocean. So he asked his question, quite an articulate person, as I remember. He had his wits about him. He phrased his question clearly. And Prabhupada answered with such vigor that there's, all right, the drop of ocean water becomes, well, the drop of water becomes one with the ocean, but then the drop will be evaporated by the influence of the sun. The water will be evaporated, then back to the land again. But if you become an aquatic in the ocean, then you can play and you can stay in the ocean permanently. So better to become a fish than to become a, and maintain your individuality than to merge in the ocean as a drop and then be evaporated again. So in this way, all right, there may be 12 people and there may be only one person asking questions. That also may be ignorant. But with great enthusiasm, Prabhupada was responding. Of his whole career. And therefore devotees became enthusiastic. Prabhupada was always He gave one talk in 1966. You can hear he's very enthusiastic. He's saying, I'm always doing something. I'm always writing something or speaking something, doing something. I don't like to sleep. It's so enthusiastic. Always doing something, 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 something. His Bhagavad Gita, he wrote the whole commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and somehow it was stolen, and Prabhupada started again. An ordinary person might have thrown up his hands and say, what's the use? I've spent so much time, so much energy for nothing. Prabhupada just said, all right, it's gone, we start again. And we're all reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not discouraged. Dhriti means determination. Determination. The materialistic person who's too much attached to sense enjoyment, doesn't develop the determination to serve Krishna. Bhogai Aisharya Prasakdhanam Taya Pritachetasam Vyavasaya Nika Buddhi Samato Navadiyate. But the person who's very serious about devotional service, Dhrityutsaha Samantita, develops great determination. I must be engaged in Krishna's service. I must give my full energy for serving Krishna. And Siddhya Siddhyor Nirvikara. Nirvikara means changing. And Nirvikara means he doesn't change. When there's success, he remains the same. We saw Prabhupada became tremendously successful. By mundane calculations, you could say he became the head of a multi-million dollar enterprise. He had thousands of followers who were ready to give their life for him. His books were being sold in the hundreds of thousands in so many different languages. So he became, you can say, a great noted person. And still he was living the same humble life. Not that now I've become big, so let me adopt the style of a big man. Still, he was happy, we mentioned yesterday, that he was living in a hut in Bhubaneswar in Prabhupada's tour last year. Prabhupada was invited to come to Bhubaneswar. He had a disciple, Gaura Govinda Swami. Prabhupada, he was Odia Bhakta, from Orissa. So Prabhupada requested him, please start a temple in Bhubaneswar. So Gaura Govinda Maharaj went there, and he got some land, which at that time was in a jungle area, practically. There were snakes, there were scorpions, it was all undeveloped. But somehow he got this land, and he wanted to, with Prabhupada's encouragement, do something. And so he gradually started, and the beginning was you have to have a place to sit down. You get the land, you build a fence around the land, and you have to have a place to sit down. So then you build a little hut, and from your little headquarters there, you'll manage the construction, you'll go out and collect funds, you'll try to get some support, you'll invite people to come. Something, something. So he built one hut there, and then he invited Prabhupada to come to Bhubaneswar, and they arranged for some hotel room for him. Maybe some member had a hotel, or somehow, anyway, they arranged. And Prabhupada said, no, I won't stay in the hotel. I'll stay with my disciple, Gaura Govinda Maharaj, in the hut. And Prabhupada was very happy staying in that little hut. No running water, no amenities. But here's the person who's the head of a multi-million dollar enterprise and has thousands of disciples all over the world, ready to do everything for him. And he's living in a little hut. He didn't change. He didn't become someone else. He didn't get carried away. Siddhi. Now, the material Siddhoham Balavam Siddhi. I'm perfect. I'm powerful. I'm happy. When a person gets a little money or a little fame, they become like that, don't they? I was once on an airplane going from New Zealand, and there was a rock group who at that time were very successful. Young men. Of course, they were flying in first class. But they were cavorting around the plane, you know, racing around, and because they were drunk. And the flight attendants were apologetic, you know, sorry, they are who they are. Don't mind them. Embarrassing. They became a little famous, they got a little money, and they thought they're the greatest thing going. And Prabhupada was so much more accomplished, and he was unaffected. And a siddhi means failure. When there's failure also, Prabhupada was unaffected. He went through so much trouble to get that building in Jhansi for the League of Devotees. Finally he got the building, then he was trying to purchase it. And by some political influence, it went to the governor's wife or some charity that the governor's wife was connected to. And Prabhupada lost the building. So he didn't cry, oh, I've lost the building, and blah, 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 blah. He just went on with his business. So many failures, so many attempts that were unsuccessful. But Prabhupada didn't throw it in. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, it's a failure, what's the use? He continued. Even his institution of his spiritual master fell apart. Gaudiya Math practically fell apart. Prabhupada didn't say, oh, what's the use? Let me go back to material life. He remained enthusiastic. So this is Krishna consciousness. Mukta sango naham vadi dhrityutsahasama. This combination of enthusiasm and determination is very powerful. Even there's a very good example of siddhya siddhyor nirvikara. The Jatayu, when Ravana was kidnapping Sita Devi in an aerial chariot, then he was challenged by Jatayu. Jatayu was a great bird. And he saw that Ravana's running away with Sita Devi. So he challenged him. But he was old. And Ravana was very, very powerful. So in the fight, Ravana cut off his wings. And Jatayu fell to the ground. That means failure. Ravana succeeded in escaping to Lanka with Sita Devi. But Lord Ramchandra found the dying bird, Jatayu, and appreciated so much that he's given his life for it. He himself performed the funeral ceremony. Lord Ramchandra didn't think, bah, old bird, what could he do? Failure. What's the use? Lord Ramchandra appreciated the attempt. He's given his life for my service. Doesn't matter that it was, whether it was a success or whether it was a failure, but he made the attempt. In the material world, the completion of the endeavor is the success. When you complete it and you attain your goal, then you can say, I succeeded. And if you don't attain the goal, then all of your work is for nothing. It's a failure. So in the material world, the result is the success. But in the spiritual world, the endeavor is the success. The result may be so-called successful or unsuccessful. But just the fact that we've made the endeavor to please Krishna means that it's already successful. Whatever the outcome. Shatayu failed. But his whole life was a success because Lord Ramchandra appreciated. Lord Ramchandra was grateful. He gave his life for my service. So, Siddhar Siddhar Nirvikar. The devotee is unaffected. I may be successful, I may be unsuccessful, but I'm determined. Triti Utsaha. Always enthusiastic, and not just a kind of bubbly enthusiasm. Sometimes you find this, that people are very enthusiastic, very enthusiastic, very enthusiastic, until there's some obstacle. And then they turn back. They give up. Because they're willing to do it as long as it's fun, as long as it's great, then they're enthusiastic. But the Krishna conscious person, his enthusiasm is not superficial. It's very deep enthusiasm. And it goes along with determination. He's determined to serve Krishna under any circumstances. Therefore, it's said, Vaitukiya Pratiyata. He can't be interrupted by any material condition. I can serve Krishna under any. One time, someone challenged that if the lights go out, like here the lights have gone out, we have something. If the lights go out, then how will you serve Krishna? Prabhupada said, we can serve Krishna in the dark. It doesn't require any material preconditions to be met. Whatever. So we saw that Prabhupada was enthusiastic. From one point of view, in the beginning, Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, or before that, he was in this loft with these crazy people. And really, they were crazy people. Now here's Prabhupada, he's coming from... There's one journalist who told about this. He got a tip that there's some Swami who's come to New York, and I think he's going to start a religious movement. He got a tip. So the journalist went to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada was staying in some loft. And he came in, and the men saw that there are these sort of stoned hippies, intoxicated, big eyes from LSD and so many things. And there's long hair and strange people, and some of them are standing on their head, and some of them are doing yoga exercises, and some of them are sitting and all doing something. And then he came to the very back of the loft, big loft. Came to the very back, there was a little area with some curtain. He opened the curtain, he saw that Prabhupada was there, sitting. And he said, I could tell that he was an aristocratic person. An aristocratic person in any circumstance, by his very nature, will be aristocratic. I could see he was an educated person. He was a gentleman. So he asked, first he asked, should I take off my shoes? Prabhupada said, if you like. If you like. As you like. Another man came in and Prabhupada had him, made him comfortable. And then he asked Prabhupada, he said, what are those people doing out there? And Prabhupada said, I don't know. So I'm trying to teach them something, but they are not understanding. There's so many crazy boys in the beginning. One of them asked Prabhupada for some money, a few dollars. And Prabhupada said, what do you want a few dollars for? And the boy said, I want to go get some petrol because I want to immolate myself. Crazy. Prabhupada said, there's not enough money to do that. So. Imagine what Prabhupada was putting up with, but he had a mission given to him by his spiritual master, and he was enthusiastic for that mission. And whatever Krishna sends, if Krishna sends hippies, that's all right. If Krishna sends big men, that's all right. If Krishna sends something in between, that's all right. Whatever Krishna may send. Prabhupada was personally going to distribute his books. There were two bookstores in New York City that specialized in Eastern literature. One was called Orientalia, and the other was called Paragon. Yeah, who is that? Okay. Yes, Paragon Bookstore in New York City.
And the boy was Sriadish? The boy was Sriadish?
Sriadish, yeah.
Okay.
A Paragon Bookstore. So Prabhupada was personally going, bringing a little samosa or something, and bringing his Bhagavatams, and trying to. That was his only way of, Prabhupada said, just for getting food, I had to sell books. So he was personally going to the bookstores, went to the New York Public Library and placed some books there. He was personally going and distributing these books. Who's interested in such books? There are so many novels, they're selling hundreds and thousands of copies. And how many people are interested in message of Krishna? But Srila Prabhupada, with great enthusiasm, was distributing his books and making friends with the booksellers and looking for every opportunity to spread the message of Krishna. He was writing to the great people of the world, Mahatma Gandhi and this one, that one, and knowing that probably they may never even see the letter. Or if they see it, what will they understand? But let me do it. With enthusiasm, he's writing to them. With enthusiasm, publishing his Bhakti Godhead. Everything with enthusiasm. And this. So it became a characteristic of enthusiasm is that it generates more enthusiasm. When you're enthusiastic, then it may rub off on the people near you, right? When someone's enthusiastic, everybody's sitting around, well, I don't know, what should we do? What should we do? But someone's very enthusiastic. Come on, guys, let's do it. And the others start to say, all right, let's give it a shot. Enthusiasm will overflow, and then others may pick up the enthusiasm, even materially speaking. So Prabhupada was so enthusiastic to serve Krishna. So the devotees became enthusiastic. They were giving up their material activities. Their whole life was gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication. And then gave these things up to chant Hare Krishna. And to follow Srila Prabhupada. Because they could see that here's such enthusiasm. Not just enthusiasm, because it's not just because someone's enthusiastic you'll follow, but they saw that here's knowledge and devotion and so much spiritual substance and so much enthusiasm. The Swami is always enthusiastic. So they became enthusiastic to serve him. And still this movement, so many devotees are enthusiastic. That enthusiasm is coming down from Srila Prabhupada also. He made someone else enthusiastic, he made someone else enthusiastic. Now those people are making us enthusiastic. In one sense, we're enthusiastic because of the holy name of Krishna. The holy name of Krishna is not different from Krishna himself. So by chanting Hare Krishna, our natural enthusiasm to serve Krishna is revived. Our natural enthusiasm. We see this practically, that by chanting Hare Krishna, one becomes enlivened. He becomes enlivened. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite. The description of ignorance in Bhagavad Gita is very nice. Nice when you have light.
Ayukta prakrita stabdha shabto naiskritiko lashaha vishadi dhirgasutri cha karta tamasu chate.
He's stubborn. Ayukta, he's not connected with Krishna. He doesn't follow Krishna's directions from scripture. Prakrita, materialistic. Stubta. Stubta means pig-headed. Obstinate, like a donkey. Donkey, you know what it is. When a donkey doesn't want to move, try and get it to move. It's just obstinate. Why should I move? That's stubta. And Chateau is a dishonest liar. And Naishkritiko Alashaha. But he's expert in one thing, Naishkritika. He's expert in criticizing others. He's expert in insulting others. That in that department he has some expertise. He can't do anything, but he can criticize the world. Naishkritika and Alashaha, lazy. And Vishadi. Vishadi means lamenting. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna Vishad Yoga. Arjuna's in morose, dejected. Throws his bow to the ground. With tears in his eyes, he's lamenting, I can't fight, I can't fight, I won't fight. So Vishadi, morose. And Dirghasutri. Dirghasutri is a wonderful term. Sutri, what's a sutra?
Thread.
Thread. So a sutri is a person who has a thread. And Dirga? Long. Long thread. So what does it mean? A person who has a long thread means he stretches everything out. If he can do it in half an hour, it'll take him half a day. If you want it by Monday, he'll do it by Friday. Procrastinating. Dirghasutri. This is a characteristic of ignorance. Person in ignorance. Why should I do it now? Yeah, I'll do it sometime. Yeah, I'll get to it. Yeah. Not enthusiastic. Because he's dull. He's in tamagun means just can't get up the energy to do anything. People who are drunk, you can't expect them to get up and go out there and do something. But people who are in the mode of ignorance are like that. You can't get them to do anything because they don't have any impetus to do anything. They're covered by deep darkness. And they're happy. These are the people who they look forward to opportunities to sleep more. You give them a weekend, they'll spend it in bed. If possible, they'll sleep. They'll sleep and sleep and sleep. Because that's pleasure. Just to be literally with the lights out, just to be in darkness and with the eyes closed. And for them, that's enjoyment. Because they're in the mode of ignorance. So, Dirgha Sutri, stretching everything out. Tomorrow. Manana. Karta Atama Sutra, in the mode of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada saw that his followers were also not unaffected by ignorance. So Prabhupada used to have to push us. He saw that the law of inertia, an object at rest tends to remain at rest. So we weren't doing anything, and the tendency was that we continued to do nothing. Therefore Prabhupada was always prodding us that the temples are not places for eating and sleeping. You get a temple and you sit there and you cook lunch and then you take lunch and then you sit around and talk for a while and start cooking dinner. Then you have dinner, then you go to sleep. And you get up and you say, "When's breakfast?" The tendency is there just to sort of get along and sort of do the minimal and status quo, whatever's going on is okay. It could be very minimal. When I think about 26 Second Avenue, what were we doing? Sometimes I think, what were we doing all day in the very beginning? But even when we were doing a lot, in our own estimation, Prabhupada was pushing us to do more. If we would distribute 100 books, Prabhupada would say, "Why not 200? We were publishing a book every 2 months. So much, a lot of activity to publish a book in 2 months is not such a small thing. But Prabhupada was translating more books. We were 17 books behind Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Now I want those 17 books in 2 months. You're producing one book in 2 months, I want 17 books in 2 months. That means no time for eating, no time for sleeping. You have your, what they call the comfort zone, the level at which you're working with some contentment and satisfaction. Yes, I'm accomplishing something every day. But there's another, you could call it overdrive. I don't know much about cars, but there's some sort of gear in which you go shoo. And that's different from just cruising. So Prabhupada would push us to do that, to do more, to be happy. There'd be no time for eating and sleeping. Only little time, but not much. Like Prabhupada, one time he said, the Brahmacharya ashram should be filled up with books. Take the Brahmacharya ashram and fill it up with books so that no one has any place to sleep. If they want to sleep, if they need a place to sleep, they have to sell some of the books. That was, yes. I remember after the Vrindavan, constructing the Vrindavan temple was a great endeavor. Still today, if you want to get anything done in India, it's not easy. And in those days, it was really not easy to get cement. I mean, if we want cement, we go out and buy some cement, right? But in those days, it's rationed, and it's this, and it's that, and just getting cement is big endeavor. How do you get cement? And how do you get this and how do you get that? So many things. So constructing our Vrindavan temple. And always it seems Vrindavan is such a place where there's obstacles offered. So anyway, finally the Vrindavan temple, after so many endeavors and delays, and finally it opened. And we were walking with Srila Prabhupada the next day on his morning walk on the road. And Prabhupada was recalling how he got how he was pushing his disciples. He said, practically I was whipping them. Well, that's the duty of the spiritual master. To see that the disciples are not descending into the mode of ignorance, that they're not available for Maya's service. Maya's always looking for the opportunity. Got some free time? There was a slogan for a beer company in America. If you've got the time, we've got the beer. So Maya's like that. If you've got the time, we've got whatever it is. So the spiritual master's business is to see that the disciples don't have the time. They're too busy in Krishna's service. They don't have time for Maya. Just as the materialists, you try to stop a materialist. Would you like this? But sorry, no time. So the devotee is the same way. Would you like to do something from my... No, sorry, no time. Shantya purvaka navagana natibi kalas vasad nikrita. The Goswamis didn't waste any time. Our Gopal Krishna Maharaj is extraordinary that way. He doesn't waste time. I've seen over so many years. He has no time for anything that is useless. Always doing something, always doing something. He's got a meeting, or he's going to worship the deities, or he's chanting his rounds, or he's something else, or something else. You never find that, well, yeah, I have a free afternoon. A free afternoon in the life of Gopal Krishna Maharaj is like a giraffe in Alaska. They don't, not to be found. Always busy. The Goswamis were like that. They were always busy in Krishna's service. Writing something, reading something, discussing something, chanting, worshipping the deities. Wandering around Vrindavan in ecstasy, looking for Krishna. They were always somehow, always engaged. Nidrahara vihara kari vichita. I mentioned the other day, their eating and sleeping were practically down to nothing. Not because they took a vow, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to sleep. They're so busy. They were in ecstasy, serving Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna gunasmitaya madhurimam mandinam sammohitam. They were overwhelmed by remembering the transcendental characteristics of Krishna. And so they were always enthusiastic. I mentioned that the other day, that Krishna's qualities, Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, they're all enlivening. Udipana. They're enlivening. They're all impetuses for the service of Krishna. And our Krishna consciousness movement is arranged in such a way to provide all of these transcendental impetuses, all of these enlivening elements for the service to awaken our spiritual life. The association of devotees, the worship of the deity, hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting of Hare Krishna, living in a spiritual place like Krishna's temple, associating in that way. All of these things are very powerful for reawakening our natural enthusiasm to serve Krishna. You read these 64 items of devotional service in the Nectar of Devotion. All of them are enlivening or strengthening for this natural tendency to be alive in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada gave us that, the example, always to be enthusiastic, always to be in that way. My godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu, he talks about book distribution. He has a slogan: you should distribute the overflow. What does that mean? It means that because you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you're practicing devotional service, so by all of you're associating with devotees, honoring Prasad, by all of these things, you're enlivened with devotional service so much that it's overflowing, and you can distribute the overflow. Just like if there's electricity, if there's more electricity, you can distribute more. Or if there's more water overflowing, here, you take some. When there's an excess, we can distribute because we have an overflow. So we can be, by following these principles of Krishna consciousness, overflowing with enthusiasm. Krishna consciousness is so nice, you should try it, you should take it, you should read about it. And that will, then the next person becomes enthusiastic, the next person enthusiastic, the next person enthusiastic. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes?
Mind, like you were explaining about Srila Prabhupada's time, how he even pushed the 17th Chaitanya Charitamrita and less than 2 months. Why are we losing that mood? I think every decade is just going down, that kind of mood.
It may go down or it may go up, that's up to us. It's up to us. Of course, Prabhupada was so personally so enthusiastic, so when we came in touch with him, then we became enthusiastic. We may have been lazy or whatever, but then Prabhupada would come and enthusiasm would return. So Prabhupada may not personally be present physically, but if we read his books, we'll become enthusiastic. If we chant Hare Krishna, we'll be enthusiastic. If we make the attempt to bring others to Krishna consciousness, then that also happens, that newcomers will be enthusiastic, and then we become more enthusiastic. That's one thing. If we just sit on it, it won't go anywhere. If we just sit on it, it won't go anywhere. We'll gradually become dull and dull. But when we distribute it, it increases. Anandam buddhibhardhanam. Krishna consciousness increases when we distribute it to others. When we keep it for ourselves, then even our stock will dwindle. But when we distribute it, then our stock will increase. seeing how enthusiastic the newcomers are, will become enthusiastic. How enthusiastic this guy is. And I've been reading this for so many years, I'm doing this. So how enthusiastic I should be. Or we've just become enlightened. How enthusiastic this new man is. We see that this is natural. We become more enthusiastic. Just, I visited the library this morning. There was one young African man there reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was so enthusiastic. He was not very well dressed, you know, sort of a torn shirt, t-shirt, and I don't know. But anyway, sitting there reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and with such interest, he's asking me questions about prayers by the personified Vedas. You know, the most difficult philosophical chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had, like, just to the point, questions about that chapter. And what about Yogamaya and Mahamaya and so on? So enthusiastically reading these books. And so then naturally we think, well, I'm just sitting on these books. How much I should be reading them and how much I should be distributing them? Because just see the result of some young man who doesn't really know what it's all about, but he's sitting there, he's captivated by these books. So, in short, we have to get off our butts. Then there'll be enthusiasm. Shall we stop here?
Maharaj, what about... I know... Sorry, the one devotee, I mean, he was, I remember back to Mana, London, that was just spent most of my devotional service. One devotee, it's also okay, he was doing all other services, but he was very enthusiastic in taking prasadam. It's okay. when the time
it's prasadam. Fantastic. Yeah, to be enthusiastic for taking prasadam is wonderful.
He was really just whenever there's time for prasadam, oh my God, he's just like, you're very enthusiastic.
That's good. Prabhupada was encouraging the devotees, take more, take more. That's also Krishna. Prasadam is also Krishna's mercy. So someone's enthusiastic to get Krishna's mercy in one form or another. Of course, after taking too much prasadam, then one becomes enthusiastic to sleep. So we should be enthusiastic about honoring prasadam, but we should be enthusiastic about some other things also. But so many times you saw that in the beginning, practically that was people's enthusiasm, prasadam. Some devotees were just saying that in the early days, 26 Second Avenue, they would be thinking that, you know, because there wasn't very much commitment on the part of some of the early people. So they're just, you know, it's kind of nice to hang out with the Swami and, you know, it's interesting. But there wasn't a commitment, like, I have to give my life to this. So then the devotee naturally, in such a condition, the person will think that, well, I think I'll go back to, you know, whatever it was, go back to their life. But maybe I'll wait till after Sunday. Because on Sunday the feast would be there. So they think that maybe, anyway, I'll stay till Sunday. And of course, after Sunday, now he's all... enthusiastic again. So that prasadam is also Krishna's mercy, it's also enlightened. One time Prabhupada said that let the devotees take nice prasadam. He said they've given up all sense gratification. This is their only enjoyment. Let them. And we see practically that people are encouraged. Because it has spiritual potency. You may say that it's just some apples cut up and you're calling it prasadam. But Prabhupada said we see that by eating these apples, people become devotees. It's not ordinary food. Of course, the advanced devotees, you know, we become enthusiastic if there's halava and rasgullas and samosas and sweet rice, then we're enthusiastic. Then we're enlivened. Wow, that was a great feast. A pure devotee, if he gets three drops of charanamrita, he's enlivened. If he gets a tulsi leaf, he's enlivened. Not that he has to have the opium. But of course, that comes after a little advancement. But as one advances, very quickly one will advance. And one feels enthusiastic to do service. If I got some service, then I'm enthusiastic. I got to clean the temple room. I got to make a garland. I got to do this. I got to do that. Just to be able to serve Krishna, they think this is great. They're enthusiastic. And if the leader is enthusiastic, then followers will also become enthusiastic. So we should try to be enthusiastic for the benefit of others also.
Druti plus usah. Druti means patience.
I agree.
Usah means enthusiasm. It was patience and enthusiasm. If both are combined, then you can read the book.
I couldn't follow. What is that?
Patience and enthusiasm.
Patience and enthusiasm.
Druti is patience.
Yeah.
You must have both, not only enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Both was, are connected.
Yes,
then
correct.
Read the book.
Yes.
Thereby I understand.
Yes, quite right. Otherwise, we're enthusiastic until we hit an obstacle. Yes, is that a question or is that just a hint? But determined means that it's understood that I may not get the outcome right away. But I'm determined that I'll stick with it until the outcome is there. Or even if there's no outcome, I'll stick with it. So he's patient. Utsaha nischaya dharya. He has confidence that the process is effective. And he's patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. Trees don't grow overnight. Anything valuable takes some time. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. You want to have kirtan for 5 minutes?
Yes.
Who's a good leader? You're a good leader. Okay, you're on.